Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We have Stevie.
Hi.
Flora.
Hello.
And Hugh.
Hello.
The new issue of the Week Junior magazine is packed with everything you need to know about the most important and fascinating things happening around the planet and beyond. Inside, you'll find out why Brazil's jaguars have surprised scientists, how to make pretty rangoli patterns, and hear from famous scientist Jane Goodall. If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior, you can get a free 6-week trial by going to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and using the code podcast. On this week's episode of the Week Junior Show, we'll look ahead to COP26, discover a very rare owl, and find out about a 3,500-year-old ghost. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether space tourism is a good idea. But before all of that, given that we'll be talking about ghosts and Halloween is coming up, can you tell us what you used to dress up as for Halloween? Stevie, you can go first.
So I am a big fan of Halloween and I dress up every year pretty much. So I used to dress up when I was younger as like a witch or something. But my favourite of all time has to be the ventriloquist dummy that I dressed up with a few years ago. I had like lines all down my face and walked really weird. It was great.
That's great. Did you have somebody to be the actual ventriloquist or was it just you on your own?
It was just me on my own. My ventriloquist was invisible.
That's great. Even creepier. That's great. Flora, how about you?
Well, unlike Stevie, I'm afraid I'm a bit of a Halloween Scrooge. I think it was because my birthday's in November and I always felt Halloween was an annoying obstacle on the way to my birthday. But I once did drape myself in bin bags to be a vampire, which was about as much Halloween spirit as I could muster.
I mean, I can't even imagine how that would work. Are you thinking as like a cape?
Yeah, I just kind of put it on. I'd sellotape them together, made a long sort of dress of bin bags.
Did you have any fangs or anything at all?
No, just bin bags. So I wasn't going to spend any money on it.
Well, people might have just thought you were a big bin bag.
They might have done.
Okay, well, I can tell that you really didn't take it seriously. Hugh, how about you?
One year I dressed up as Superman. This was before we had ready-made outfits online, so I made my own. I had some light blue pyjama trousers, red football socks, underpants over my trousers, an S and Earl t-shirt. I had a kiss curl like Christopher Reeves, who played Superman in the movies, and everything was fine. I thought it looked amazing, and then my dad came up and put an old sort of 1950s motorbike helmet on my head. It was leather, like a bowl shape with flaps that tie and buckle underneath your chin. And I did say to him, Dad, Superman never wore a helmet. And he said, well, he should have, jumping around like that. So I had to go out dressed as Superman, but with a helmet on. Answer a bunch of awkward questions all evening.
I love it. Like safety conscious Superman.
Exactly. He really should have wore a helmet. I think that every time I see him flying through the air now.
Well, yeah, if your dad had been there when Superman was around, he would have been like, come on, Superman, get yourself together. Sort yourself out. I am a bit like Stevie. I do love fancy dress. I do love Halloween costumes and stuff. I never go spooky or scary. I've previously dressed as Where's Wally. That was quite fun. And I've also dressed as a Beanie Baby before as well. I made the big tag and made a little poem for myself like they have in those in the Beanie Babies. We also want to find out what everybody's favourite fact from this week is. Stevie, what have you learnt?
So I've learned that a jaguar's roar is sometimes called a saw because it sounds like a sawing of wood, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's a great great fact. Lovely. Flora, how about you?
Well, I learned that Sudan has more pyramids than its neighbouring Egypt.
No.
I was very surprised by, because everyone knows about the pyramids of Egypt, but no one knows about the pyramids of Sudan.
Oh, my goodness. No, that sounds like one of those facts you can tell people and they won't believe you, but it's like a really cool conversation starter.
Or it's a real or rubbish.
That is a real or rubbish. Yeah, don't get me started on real or rubbish. Hugh, how about you?
Yeah, I found out that the Women's Rugby World Cup trophy has been missing for 15 years and has been found in somebody's loft when they were clearing out the parents' loft. And it did remind me of when they... English national men's football team lost the World Cup in 1966, the Jules Rimet Trophy. It went missing, but 7 days later it was found by a dog in South London, in Upper Norwood, in a hedge under somebody's garden. The dog was called Pickles. So I just think that if England are going to win these trophies, can you please look after them?
Oh my goodness, keep them under lock and key. Can you imagine losing such a big trophy? That is madness. Right now, it is time for real or rubbish. All right, then, who wants to try and trick me this week?
That's me this week. So I've got a story for you about a boy called Briggs Darrington, who, though he's only 1 year old, has taken 45 flights in his life. He's a social media influencer, and he earns £700 a month, which is a significant amount. He's travelled all over the US. He's seen bears and glaciers in Alaska. He's seen wolves in Yellowstone Park. And the one-year-old has Instagram and TikTok accounts, and he earns money from sponsored posts and tourism agencies. So what do you reckon, Bex? Do you think that this is possible? Do you think this one-year-old could be so entrepreneurial and clever to earn so much money every month? Or am I just trying to trick you?
All right, so Briggs. The name is Briggs, is that right?
Briggs.
Okay.
Briggs Darrington.
Briggs Darrington. That is the name of a superhero, if ever I heard one. So Briggs Darrington, let's address this thorny issue. First of all, let's just say that who's taken that many plane rides in the last year? If he's only a year old, you know...
Yeah, good point. 45.
Nobody's really been flying in the last year because of COVID and because of, like, you know, countries not being open. 45 is a lot of plane rides to be taking, in my opinion.
It's probably all the flights that have taken off in the past year.
He's been on all of them, do you think?
He's been on
every last one of them.
I mean, there probably aren't that many more than 45.
Well, that's probably true. And I'm guessing, I assume, Briggs has some parents who've been along for the ride as well. That's a lot of money to spend on these journeys, these flights. But of course, if you're getting that £700 a month from sponsored ads, I suppose that does help, doesn't it?
Maybe you can expense it.
You can expense it, of course. Good.
Maybe Briggs expenses it to his...
But he's 1 year old. He's one. He doesn't know the benefits of tax saving. One thing the first thing I thought of when you said this, I am concerned that this is one of those tricky reel or rubbishes where you reel me in and then it turns out there's a twist in it. And I...
Reel you in and rubbish
exactly.
you out.
And I worry. My first thought was, babies are cute, but dogs are cuter. And I wonder,
I wonder
whether Briggs is actually a puppy, and that's why Briggs is so popular. And I don't know.
Briggs does sound like quite a doggy name.
Yeah, Briggs. You can imagine shouting for Briggs in a park. Briggs, come here, Briggs. Briggs, yeah. Put that down. So I, and then my first thought was actually, is the sting in the tail here that it's actually a dog and not a baby? Because that would be more interesting to see a dog flying than a baby. Apologies to babies everywhere. So that's where I'm at with this. That's where my head went to immediately.
That's interesting. Interesting.
So have a think about that.
I don't think we've ever had Bex kind of amend the story like this.
I'm trying to get one step ahead of you, but I think if anything, I've just like gone about 3,000 miles behind. So if you're listening and you don't know the answer, much like me, and you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show and we can find out the answer together. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from the week. Stevie, what do you have for me?
So my story is an amazing story of rediscovery. So a rare Shelley's eagle owl has been spotted for the first time in 150 years in Atuwa Forest in eastern Ghana, which is a country in West Africa. The owl was seen lurking in the trees by two scientists, Dr. Joseph Tobias and Dr. Robert Williams, who were working in the forest at the time. And until now, there have been no confirmed sightings of the owl in Ghana since the 1870s and very few glimpses of it anywhere else. So before this, the only photograph in existence were grainy images taken in 1975 of a captive bird at Antwerp Zoo in Belgium.
This is so weird. I was just reading about this story this morning. How odd. But I don't know everything about it, obviously, so it's quite handy that you're here. Tell me, what does the owl actually look like then?
So surprisingly, they can grow quite big. They grow up to 60 centimetres in length, which is about the same size as an osprey. They are also really distinctive, like with big black eyes, a yellow bill and tufts of hair protruding from their heads.
So if they're so large and so distinctive, why have they or how have they kept themselves hidden for 150 years?
So Shelley's eagle owls are arboreal. So this means that they live high amongst the trees. Their feathers are also perfectly camouflaged in the treetops and they rarely venture down to the lower branches, which is why they've evaded like photographers for 150 years. So it is now hoped that the rediscovery of this majestic and elusive bird will lead to Atuwa Forest becoming a national park and hopefully receiving much more protection.
I love it. Hidden away since the 1870s. Didn't know that was even possible. Flora, what have you been finding out about?
Well, I've been finding out all about COP26, which is not completely unrelated to the owl. It's a big sort of environmental conference that takes place from the 31st of October to the 12th of November. And world leaders from around 190 different countries gather in Glasgow this year to have this kind of big summit all about the environment and climate change. And it's held every year by the United Nations, which is this group of 193 countries. And this is the 26th version, so that's why it's called COP26.
Oh, I didn't know that. So what are the aims of COP26 then?
So there are four major aims at COP26 this year. The first is for countries to come together to make a plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and get those down to net zero by 2050. So I'm sure that everyone, the listeners, have all heard about net zero, but that is basically just when there's a balance between the emissions that we give out or produce and the emissions that we take out of the atmosphere. And you can do this by various ways, including switching to renewable energy sources like wind turbines and solar panels, and there are various other clever scientific inventions that are doing that. And then the second aim is to protect ecosystems and natural habitats, so that relates to the Shelly Owl maybe, those habitats that are already at threat from climate change particularly, so looking at how you can protect those places for those animals and plants and creatures. And third aim is for richer countries like the UK to do more to support the poorer countries to meet their climate targets, because obviously all these scientific inventions and everything cost a lot of money. And rich countries have got the money to do it, maybe, but poorer countries often don't. And the fourth and final aim is for countries to try to finalise rules around how the Paris Agreement is enforced. So the Paris Agreement was a deal in which countries promised to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions so that the global average temperatures don't rise by more than 2 degrees this century, but ideally by no more than 1.5 degrees.
Okay, so lots and lots of things to think about there. Fingers crossed they can make some arrangements and agreements, I guess. Thanks, Laura. Next up, Hugh, what are you finding out about this week?
Okay, well, this story's a very good timing for Halloween, actually. The world's oldest drawing of a ghost has been discovered in the darkened vaults of the British Museum in London. The picture is an engraving on an ancient Babylonian clay tablet, and it was created around 3,500 years ago. It shows this lonely, bearded spirit being led away into the afterlife. So he's shown walking with his arms outstretched, his wrists tied by a rope being held by a female. And the ghost has come to the land of the living because he was lonely, basically.
All right. So was it meant to be a nice kind of decorative picture, or did it have some other purpose to it?
Part of it is an exorcist's guide to getting rid of unwanted ghosts by addressing the particular problem that they've brought back into the living world with them. In this case, the ghost is in desperate need of a companion. So their instructions are actually written in the back of the tablet explaining how people can get rid of unwanted spirits. Dr. Irving Finkel, curator of the Middle Eastern Department of the British Museum, said that it's obviously a male ghost and he's miserable. You can imagine a tall, thin, bearded ghost hanging around the house did get on people's nerves. So Dr. Finkel said that the item had somehow been overlooked until now in the British Museum. The drawing had been missed as the ghost only comes to life when it's viewed from above and under a light. So it had been forgotten about since it was acquired by the museum in the 19th century, and the tablet has never, ever been exhibited. So the text on the back, the instructions for dealing with the ghost, describe a ritual of making little figurines and bringing them up at dawn and stuff like that. And then you give a prayer to Shamash, who's the god of the sun and judge of the underworld by night, apparently. And the text ends with the warning, do not look behind you.
Oh my goodness, how scary. That is a perfect story for Halloween week. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, guys. Now, as well as reading more about these stories in the Week Junior, you can also read about Roar Like a Lion, an uplifting self-help guide exploring the valuable life lessons that we can all learn from animals. It's written by Carly Sorosiak, and here she is to tell us a little bit more about herself.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Carly Sorosiak, author of Roar Like a Lion, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer two very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Nope, absolutely not. I'm afraid I can't stand it. Secondly, what was my favorite book growing up? My favorite book was Tuck Everlasting. It's about a family that has a secret. They can live forever.
Okay, so now it's time for the big debate. And this week we're asking whether space tourism is a good idea. Who can tell me a little bit more?
I can. So this was prompted by an interview with the BBC in which Prince William said that billionaires should stop jetting off to space and instead focus their money and attention on fixing the Earth's problems. William Shatner, who is 90 years old, became the oldest person to go into space in October. And he said Prince William had missed the point. Shatner said it was just the beginning of what could be possible for humans in space. And this year, three companies owned by three billionaires, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk and Richard Branson, have all flown tourists to the edge of space.
Okay, this is a tricky one. Do we need to go into space? Do we want to go into space? This is for Stevie and Hugh to debate for our pleasure. Now, guys, you've got a minute each. You knew that already, though, I'm sure. So Stevie is up first. Whenever you're ready, Stevie, take it away.
Great, I am ready. So, space tourism not only helps the people blasting off into space, it also helps advance science and technology on planet Earth. A new generation of scientists and engineers have all been created in the effort to make space tourism happen. New advancements in reusable rockets have allowed space agencies to save millions of pounds on their missions to other worlds. But that's not the only reason why space tourism is helping to save the planet. When you are standing on the surface of the planet, it is difficult to understand how isolated Earth is. People go about their everyday lives without thinking about the effect they might be having. In December 1972, astronaut Harrison Schmitt looked out of the window of the Apollo 17 spacecraft and he took a photo. This photo of planet Earth, illuminated by the sun and surrounded by the inhospitable darkness of space, became one of the most shared photographs in all of human history. It made people realize that Earth is the only home humans have, and it needs protecting. Recent advances in space tourism have allowed others to experience this feeling. With more and more people heading into space, it will help protect the planet that we call home.
Well, that was a lovely debate, Steve. You did go slightly over. I'm so sorry. I'm duty-bound to tell you, because that's a stickler that I am for time. So, Hugh, do you think you can argue against Stevie and stay in the minute? If you reckon you can, yeah, give it a go. Take it away when you're ready.
Okay, I'm also giving away how ancient I am here. I was born in July 1969, the same day that the Apollo 11 astronauts splashed back down on Earth after being the first humans on the moon. 250,000-mile voyage, reaching the frontier of human knowledge. 52 years later, we have these insanely rich businessmen using their rockets like toys to achieve little more than moments of weightlessness, to catch a glimpse of space, not even 70 miles from Earth. These rockets are a disastrous waste of fossil fuel. There are barely any benefits in technology for space tourism. Space could be a key to solving some of our problems, such as solar power in space, or even turning Mars into a backup planet. But very little has been done in researching these solutions. Of course, they're privately wealthy individuals, so they can spend their money as they want, but they have no responsibility to our planet. And Prince William was right when he told the BBC, great brains and minds should be trying to repair the planet, not trying to find the next place to go and live. These companies should contribute more to tax, and these billionaires just need to read the room. No one cares about your space race.
All right, lovely stuff. I mean, I think you were both slightly around at the same time there, so I'm going to give you a round of applause, both of you. There you go. Flora, what do you reckon?
Well, I'm pretty torn because I think, Stevie, you had a very romantic, beautiful argument about, you know, this kind of lonely planet floating in darkness, and I love all that. I mean, I've never thought maybe I want to go to space before, but now I kind of do. So from a selfish perspective, but and then I do kind of agree with you, Hugh. I mean, who cares about these billionaires and their silly little planet? They're toys, you know. But you know, it's not up to me. As we always say, it's not up to me.
Well, I kind of wish it was, to be honest, with your lovely explanation there. But no, it's the listeners who have to make a choice here. So if you've got an opinion, let us know by responding to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last time on the podcast, we asked whether formal dancing is the best kind of dancing. And 76% of you think that freestyle dancing, where you move to the music however you feel like it, is a lot more fun. So here are some of your comments.
Most pop jam users preferred freestyle dancing. One said, no, everybody should be able to do whatever dancing they want. Dancing is about expressing yourself, so do what dancing you choose.
And another said, no, dance is a way of expressing emotions like music, but music doesn't have any rules. So why should dance? But there should be safety measures, but that's it.
Someone else in Pop Jam sent a message saying, yes and no, it really depends on people's interests. Some people may like formal because of its elegance. Others may like more modern dancing.
Lots of really interesting opinions there. I think last week I said I prefer formal dancing, but actually my mind has been changed by the listeners there. So remember, this is your chance to get involved. Grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you reckon of this week's space debate. Then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. Now, before we go, we've got to recap that real or rubbish story. Flora, can you remind me what it was again, please?
So this is Briggs Darrington, the one-year-old puppy or person. I'm saying he's a person. He's a little boy who has taken 45 flights. He's a social media influencer. He earns £700 a month traveling all around the world, gets sponsored by tourism agencies.
First of all, I think we can all agree we'd all like to earn £700 a month just being flown around the world, right? That'd be lovely.
Well, only if I'm going to space.
My main bone of contention with this is I don't think there's been a lot of flights recently, and I think influencers have been really careful to not travel too much during the pandemic, and also because of climate change stuff. So I am going to optimistically say this story is rubbish, and I'm also going to caveat it with saying, if it is about a dog, I'm a genius. So my answer is rubbish for today.
All right, can I have a drum roll, please? It's actually real.
No!
You got too kind of clever about it. It's just, you know, he just brings his mum, Jess Darrington. She's a full-time travel blogger. And she just takes her baby around with her to go around the world.
That was it? What? That's it?
That's it.
It's just
straight up real.
It's straight up real. And I dug into areas that didn't need to be dug into. And
yeah, it was just too complicated.
Why did I think it was a dog? Like, what's my problem? Well, I go and lick my wounds about that terrible defeat. That is it for the Week Junior Show this week. So it's goodbye to Stevie.
Goodbye.
To Flora.
Bye.
And you.
Cheerio.
Remember, you can drop us a comment on Pop Jam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/The Week Junior and use the code PODCAST.